So we're in Sefer Arishon, and we've just started the topic of Emunah. I want to share with you a mashal, which is originally from a non-Jewish philosopher, but the message behind it is very pertinent to what we're learning now. It's called the Parable of Plato's Cake. I haven't spoken about it recently, have I? So there was a cruel experiment that was done. It's not a true story, I hope. Whereby they took some children, and as soon as they were born, they put them in a cave and they tied them up that they could only see what was at the back of the cave. So if you imagine, the light was coming in from the back of the cave over there, and these children were tied up in a way that they could only see the shadows and the reflections of light that was coming through. Now the experimenters, they took all different elements of the world and they would pass them by the door. So they would take a flower and they would pass it by, and they would take their children, that's a flower. And they would take an elephant and bring it past, and they would say that's an elephant, and a ball, and all many things, and they brought them all past. And the children were very confident that they knew all about the world. They said, "Do you know how a flower looks?" They said, "Sure, it's the two-dimensional grey stick with the little circles on the top." "And do you know what an elephant looks like?" "Sure, the two-dimensional grey..." Well, grey's not... Yeah, anyway, it's grey. "But the two-dimensional grey, like four stumpy legs with the kind of a strange..." "And do you know what?" Everything they would bring by, they knew exactly what it looked like. It was that two-dimensional, flat, grey image, just in this shape and that shape. And they were very, very sure that they knew what the world looked like. One day, one of the boys... risk taker, adventurer at heart, he managed to break away. Maybe Houdini came from him. And he escaped from the cave. And he made it to the outside world. And suddenly, he was overwhelmed with richness, color, depth, beauty. And as he looked at the world, he realized that the world that he had experienced until now was a pathetic, false, superficial expression of what the world really was. Yes, it's true they knew what a flower was, and it's true, and what they saw wasn't false. But it was two-dimensional, and it was without color, and it was not a true reflection of what the world really is. So excitedly, he ran back to his friends who were in the cave, and he said to them, "My friends, we've been tricked. This is not the real world. You see that? That is a flower, but there's so much more depth behind what a flower really is. It has color, it has depth, it has dimensions, perspective. You can't, but it's just a hint to what really it is. There's so much more in what you see than what that is." And they said, "Nah, what are you talking about? What you see is what you get. Our whole lives we've seen, a flower's a flower. Well, a flower has color. What's color, Bichla? Who ever heard of color? No, there's green and there's red and there's yellow and there's... Ah, you're talking Chinese. What are you talking about? A flower's a flower." This guy doesn't have intellect. This guy is just like, he's lost it. He's out there, he's blind. And his friend is trying to convince them, "You don't understand, there's more depth than what meets the eye, there's more behind it." And they don't accept what, and he's so disappointed. He knows the real world out there, beyond that door, the real world is a world full of depth, full of meaning, full of light, full of color, full of richness, full of depth. And he feels pity for these friends who are tied up, who are going to continue their whole lives, seeing everything in the world, but on a level which is so superficial, it is grey and two-dimensional, they won't experience what the depth of the world really is. That's how Baalei Emunah look at people, Jewish people, who have a world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. Or even if they have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, but it's on a level of a God who walked past the back of the cave and the word God just kind of passed by. Meaning, you have a world in which you see all the world, and you attribute all the elements of the world to cause and effect, and what you see is what you get. That world is without any depth, without any meaning. It's just, this happened, why? Things happen. Life is like a deck of cards. Sometimes you get handed a bad... Okay. It's all just random. That's just how things happen. There's no depth or meaning to it. That's a world without emun. That world is a superficial, pathetic world. What the Ali Shoh here is teaching us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did place us in a world of Hester upon him. And if we wish to be superficial, we can look at the world in that way. And we can attribute everything in the world to just the most recent cause. But emunah enables us to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is hiding behind every element of the world. And as you reveal that, it's as if you went away from the cave and you looked out and you said, that's what a flower is. I always knew what a flower was in two dimensions, just by seeing its reflection, its shadow. But now I realize that what I saw until now was extremely superficial level of what a flower really is. So you have a relationship between a husband and a wife. And as you learn more depth about it, you realize that that's really just an expression of the relationship between us and a kodesh world. You say, oh, that's what marriage really is. Wow, I never looked at it in that way. And you learn all the dynamics of male and female and how they interact. And you go, oh, that's like, we're the female and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the male. And you understand all the dynamics that go into the male and female is really the dynamic between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. You say, wow, there's so much more depth there. I never understood it in that way. And when you look at history and you look at world events that take place and you try to give a perspective of why at this point in history, like we spoke last time about the language as an example, why at this point in history this had to happen, not just because it happened, but it had to happen for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's major plan. It's an amazing thing. It says that in the end of time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself, the Yom HaGadol, then we will be revealed how everything that ever took place, we will be able to look back and realize how it was all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And all the things that looked to us at the time like they were a mistake or there was something that went wrong, they were actually essential to happen exactly at that point to bring the world to its tikkun. And the things that at the time it was appropriate for us to say Baruch Dayan Emeson, at that point we'll look back and we'll say Baruch Atova HaMeitiv. In this world we're not allowed to say Atova HaMeitiv. You're not allowed to have an emunah where you say something terrible happens, someone dies, and you say, Baruch HaTovah HaMeitiv. You're not allowed to say that in this world. Because it's not true in this world from our perspective. It is true in this world from a Kodesh Baruch Hu perspective. It will be true from our perspective in the future when we look back. But currently in this world, we have to be real with the level that we're at. And we do say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, when something to us looks like it's bad. But the more that a person gains a perspective of emunah, he won't be able to say Atova HaMeitiv is still in this world, because you can never for sure certainly know how it's good and how it's part of Hashem's plan. But what you do come to the understanding of is, I don't know how it's good, but I know God has a plan. I know He knows what He's doing. And I know that this is something which I will be able to say Tova HaMeitiv on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you enough things that happen in your life which you think are bad initially, and then serendipitously you look back afterwards and you say, oh, look at that, it was perfect timing how that all worked out. Someone just told me a story that they were looking to get a job in a certain place, and it was like a perfect job for them, and the other people were happy and they were happy, and it was like really who they were, and it was like perfect. And then when Corona hit, when COVID hit, then that job was cancelled. Like, the area that job was in wasn't relevant in COVID, and they lost the job. And they could not understand how, why, what. Why did that have to happen? It's who I was exactly. So anyway, they got a lower job in an area that they weren't so interested in, and met their spouse there. In that new place, they met their spouse. And if there wouldn't have been COVID, there would have been. Now that's an example of something which you still ask yourself, okay, but couldn't I have met my spouse without that happening, mate? I go, Baruch Hu, can't you work it out that even that will happen? So on that element, it's still Baruch Hu Danenis. Then you still don't understand all those points. But even that aspect, you'll be able to say in the long term and look back and say. An emunah perspective is where you come to the recognition that the world is not superficial. What you see is not what you get. There's a whole world of depth behind the world that you see. And really, people who are not living in this world are living in a fantasy. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but you go to the cinema or you're not going to the cinema and you're watching a movie, right? And for 2 hours or an hour and a half, you're in a totally different world. Or even if you're reading a novel, you're in a totally different world. A world of fantasy, a world which is not true, a world that, and you get into the characters and you're identifying with the characters and you're like feeling what they're feeling and you're in their story and you're also wondering what's going to happen as this story goes on because there's such metach in this story and you're living in a whole world which is not true at all. So people who have emunah, that's how they think other people look at this world. Meaning that other people, that you think this world, is that the story? That's the real story? Don't you realize there's a whole story behind this story? There's a whole level of depth way beyond what you could possibly imagine. It's as if you like, sometimes people who are deep thinkers, they tell this story through a childish tale. Right, like George Orwell, for example. Right, they tell a story of animals meeting, and you can read that story on a very superficial level, like, oh, lahavdil, lahavdil, like Rashi also. You can read Rashi on a very superficial level. But both of those examples, whether it's in literature, whether it's in learning, right, there's numerous levels of understanding you can get. And the story is written on those levels intentionally. They want you to be able to read it as a simple story and be able to understand it on the pshat level, which is kind of more retainable and absorbable. It's got an easier approach. But then there's all these underlying layers and layers of depth, which if you're sensitive to, you can understand that's what he was really getting at. That's the real depth behind the story. And a person who's a man of emunah, so he looks at the superficial level of the world and he sees it. But he says, but that's not all there is. I see that level. It's not that I don't see that level. I'm not being unrealistic. I see that level. But there's so much more understanding and depth behind where that comes from. Someone who says Amen with all of his koach, he opens the gates of Gan Eden. That's what we promised last time we were going to explain what that phrase means. Hu atzmo nimtza betoch olam mustar panim. Achu ro'eh nechocha et olam betikuno. That's what it means. It opens the gates of Gan Eden. We're standing in a world right now, which is a world which is dark. Hashem's presence is hidden. Things look like they run independently. You can attribute many things to science and to history and to nature and to politics, and you can not see Hashem. But a person who has emunah and says Amen with all of his strength, meaning with all of his understanding, his depth, he realizes there's one level of the story, but there's also another level of the story as well. There's more depth behind that story. And he's able to see that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is running the scene behind everything. He's able to recognize that everything that's happening here in this world has a deeper purpose, deeper source. He opens the gate of Gan Eden and he can look inside. He's still in not Gan Eden, because he's still in the world that we say Baruch Dynamics. We're still in the world where something bad happens to us, we say Dynamics. But we can open the gates of Gan Eden and look inside and recognize that there's a deeper source which is running this whole world. And there's a deeper layer of this whole world. You know, it says that by the Beit HaMikdash, that the Beit HaMikdash that we see, the physical one, has got a parallel of the Beit HaMikdash Shel Mala. Rashi quotes it in the Chumash as well. It's not just in Kabbalistic sources. It's born in Rashi. Meaning that there's a physical Beit HaMikdash and there's a spiritual Beit HaMikdash. There's a physical Beit HaMikdash, which is the stones and the wood and the gold. You're going to learn in the next couple of weeks, Parsha, that we the people, put together. And then there's a soul of it that comes down and is present, which is the ability to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's the superficial eyes will just look and say, that's a really nice building. That's a really nice building. But someone with spiritual eyes will be able to look in and see Gan Eden there. And he'll be able to see, yes, it's a nice building. But beyond that, that's the place where Hashem's presence can dwell. And you'll be able to have a depth, be able to relate to it. Rustav once told a great story. He went on Sukkot to go and, I don't remember which Rebbe it was, but I think it was told us Aaron, to go and see him shaking lulav and esrog. And it's a ma'amad, like how a great tzaddik fulfills the mitzvah. So he said that he was standing there watching, and the Rebbe, I think it was told us Aaron, took his lulav and esrog and he held it for a very, very, very long time, and he was thinking, and eventually after his eyes closed for a long time, he started waving it in each direction. And many people were watching as he was shaking Lulav and Esrog. And Rav Stav said that he himself was trying to think, like, what kavana could he be having? And Rav Stav thought to the highest level of kavana that he knew, Rav Stav knew, and he said, and it's even beyond that. Like, and this was like the point of Kedusha that he was feeling, and like, bring Rav Stav a feeling of, I want to go high. And a non-religious person standing next to him and was watching as well. And this non-religious person sees everyone amazed by this. You know, everyone's like, obviously on their level, taking it a level higher to what they know. And he looks around and he watches. And then he says, look how long his beard is. And Rav Stav burst out laughing. So like, yeah, everyone's in that place, you know, there's something amazing happening here. What is it? Well, depends what your starting point is. If your starting point is a world of depth, and then you realize there's even more depth potential there, then that's the level you'll be thinking towards. But if you have no depth, no understanding or entry point of what Kedusha, what Tahara, what Machshava, what Kavana, what Mitzvah, you don't have any idea of those terms, then what are you going to get from it? Look how long he's been. And that's the truth, because like, for him, that's like a step beyond where he is. He shaves with a razor. And some people have longer beards, but this person has a very long beard. It's taking him beyond his level. That's what you get from looking at a tzaddik. It takes you beyond wherever your point of interest is. Someone has emunah, he has an entry into Gan Eden. Not that he can go in. That's what you can read in the next one. But you can recognize that there's more depth behind it. Just taking us out of a holy world for a minute and showing a parallel concept. There was a potentially one of the most influential psychologists that existed since World War II. I said that because I didn't want to include Freud. Since World War II, was Viktor Frankl. And he developed logotherapy. And logotherapy is when you go through something challenging, simplified version of it, when you go through something challenging, what's hard about it isn't the challenge, it's the questions that a person asks themselves, why is this happening to me? And the challenge itself can be surmountable. But when you don't know why it's happening and you start attributing all sorts of unknown factors, then a person feels this existential threat of what's wrong with me that I deserve this and this is happening and why is it happening? And that's what causes a much higher level of pain than the actual act itself. So his whole principle is that if you find a reasoning, a logic, logotherapy, if you find a reasoning or a logic behind why such and such a thing is happening, then it takes away the pain, because now it makes sense. And once it can make sense. And once it can make sense, then you only have to deal with the thing itself. You don't have to deal with all the extra questions that you're asking. I'll give you a very, very clear example of that. My mother-in-law was in our house for Shiva. And she said, after a moment of thinking, she said, "You know why Daddy passed away now?" So we said, "No, do you know?" So she said, "My father-in-law had a heart attack a year ago. And just after he had his heart attack, my mother-in-law had some sort of an injury. And she was in hospital for a while. And it was a very long process of recovery. And some people, it takes them years to recover from this. And she recovered from it about 3 weeks ago. Now 4 weeks ago. And she said, "You know, Daddy was with me, loyal to me, and devoted to me until the end. His time maybe was supposed to be a year ago when he had his first heart attack. That may have been his time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he had such a desire to like help me through my hard time that Hashem gave him an extra year. And just as he finished his purpose, because I was back on my feet, literally, she wasn't able to walk, I was back on my feet, and it is almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, 'You need him for that extra year? I'll give him one extra year.'" Because he was age 70. And 70 is the age where, you know, that's the end of life, technically, according to David HaMelech, and everything beyond that is a bonus. So after 70, gave him an extra year just to help see me through. And now that I'm on my own two feet, Hashem said, "Okay, he finished his purpose, and now he can go." That's an emunah perspective. That's logotherapy. Where if it doesn't make sense to you, if there's no reason or rationale behind it, if it's a cruel world where things randomly happen, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a dark, superficial world. But once you recognize there's logic and there's reason behind everything that happens, now, in this world, we're not able to know the reason fully. And only in the next world we'll know exactly what the reason truly is. But it's our role, as God-fearing Jews, with the knowledge that we have of God's ways, to attribute goodness and reasoning behind the events that take place in the world. We never say we're certain. We never say, "I know God did it because of this." We can never say that. But we're obligated to look for rationale, reason, understanding of, from an emunah perspective, and what I know of Hashem's ways, why would such a thing happen to me at this point in my life? Maybe because of this, maybe this is what God wants. And if it fits into all the other wealth of, you know, knowledge that you have of Torah, then it could make sense and you could take your next step forward. Recognizing Hashem's hand in your life. If a person doesn't know emunah, then they might say, "God hates me and he's punishing me, he's doing terrible things to me," which is also attributing it to Hashem, but without an understanding of God's ways. The more you have an understanding of God's ways, then the more you'll say, "Well, from what I know of God, having read Navi, and having read Agarita, and understanding Hamachshava, it makes sense to me that God's way of acting is this way in His world. And therefore it makes sense." That's an emunah perspective. You're always recognizing, from what I can know of God's perspective, why would this happen right now? And you give it logic, and you give it reason, and you give it understanding. And usually that leads to, what action can I now take? What should I do as a result? Nothing happens in the world for nothing. If something major, or even minor, like I took the wrong coin out of my pocket, happens in this world, it's God was sharing with me something that, how can I grow from this? What can I learn? That is an emunah perspective. And that's why he says, the Gemara specifically uses the phrase, it opens Sha'arei Gan Eden. Because you're able to get a viewpoint of the Gan Eden. You're able to see, from God's perspective, why is this happening? Let me bring God into this world. And by saying Amen, which is the root of emunah, you're saying, I realize there's a logic behind it. I realize God has a hand in this. I realize God's hand is in creating this, causing this to happen, to build us, to strengthen us in some way, to guide us in some way. What is it? I don't know for sure. I only know for sure in the next world. But to the best of my knowledge, it makes sense to me that it could be this. And if it could be that, then I'm going to take steps in that direction. And if I got it wrong, I did something good. It's definitely what God wants. Maybe God wants something else. He'll send me another message. That's okay. But I took a step in the right direction. And that's an emunah perspective. A person who sees the world in its tikkun. Lahat ha'emunah ha'chofes chadrei ha'briya megaleh. When a person is ignited with this emunah perspective, it always looks throughout everything in the world. You're everything in the world you're looking for. What's the message? What's the message? What is the God telling me? Where is God behind all of this? And it brings to the understanding that the world isn't run by nature, and history is not random, incidental events that take place, and our actions aren't because of our strength. The emunah is able to perceive deeper insights behind all the things in the world that look like they're independent. It's all the Ratzon Hashem. It's all the Ratzon Hashem. And when there's history, historical events taking place, that's part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu guiding the world towards the eventual tikkun. And any pleasure that you get in the world, that you get, pleasure that you get, is Hashem expressing to you that He loves you and He wants to give you pleasure in the world. It's Chesed Hashem. And any action that you do, you were successful in because Hashem helped you. And that's what enabled you to be successful. And even if you have skills and strength, okay, but who gave you those skills and strength that enable you? No, I don't need God, I'm clever. Yeah, and who gave you your wisdom? Where did that come from? Now I have a good memory, it's okay. What, and that's independent? Your good memory was given to you by God as well. That was all Him. It was all His help. Ha-chazak be'emunah. Someone who strengthens his emunah, he lives in a spiritual world, even here on this world. I heard a beautiful pshat in the Nesivas Shalom on last week's parsha. He says that the Jewish people went betoch hayam bayavasha. What does that mean, betoch hayam bayavasha? On a pshat level it means they were in the river, they were in the sea, but where they walked was dry. He says, no, on a Hasidish level, on a depth level, but exactly in line with this, it's even when they were bayabasha, they were still betoch hayam. Even when they left the sea, and they were walking on dry land, and they weren't in the middle of the experience of seeing God's hand with them right there, they were on the yabasha already, which also, like the word yabasha means you're like dried out, you know? Like you don't have the vitality of the water anymore. Even when they're yabasha, even though dried out, they were still betoch hayam. They were able to, in their mind, bring themselves back to that recognition that Kodesh Baruch was with them and supporting them and caring for them. Even when they weren't actually experiencing it at that moment, their mind was still there. They live in a world of emunah, a spiritual world and this physical world. The entire world becomes a place of revealing Hashem. Everything that you look at, everyone you relate to, any story that you hear, is all God's hand, Yad Hashem, in our lives, showing us, guiding us, teaching us. And it reveals the oneness of Hashem. The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines through in every even dark element of this world. And that's what it's Kel Melech Ne'eman. Hashem is loyal, He's devoted. The word emunah, which is Kel Melech Ne'eman, is the God. Malchus is Hashem's expression in this world. So Kel Melech Ne'eman is God, is a king, and He's devoted to us here in this world. You can be faithful to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to guide you and accompany you in every element of your life. That's the emunah perspective that upon coming to Yeshiva, you're strengthening more and more. As you're recognizing through learning Gemara, Hashem behind the Gemara, and then you take it beyond the Gemara, and all the incidences that happen between you and other people, you realize that's the hand of Hashem as well. And you don't get upset or angry towards them, because that was the hand of Hashem as well. You don't get upset. Yosef wasn't upset with his brother. His brother said, we're sorry. Well, they didn't actually say sorry, but they said that your father told us to tell you that you should forgive us. It's like, what are you talking about? It was nothing to do with you. It was, Hashem sent me here to provide food for you. What? Are you kidding? No. They sold you as a slave. They hate you. No, that's not what happened. I'm looking from a godly perspective. God sent me down to Egypt in order to provide food for my family. He couldn't see that when he was being sold. He could not see that, but he knew that everything God does is a purpose, is a reason. Eventually I'll see it, either in this world or the next world, but eventually I'll see it. There's logic behind everything, there's a reason behind everything, there's God behind everything. And whether you know that yet, or whether you know the reasoning or you don't know yet, just the knowledge that there is a reason. Even if you haven't figured out why it's good, even if you haven't figured out why Hashem is doing all that He's doing, just the knowledge that you know that Hashem knows what He's doing, that already gives a tremendous menuchas ha-nefesh that enables you to go through the world with a sense that you're in the place of Hashem. You're being guided by Hashem. You're being directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good Shabbos.